Well, last week we heard a great testimony story from Joanne and Phil and Zach Martin. And we're, for the next few weeks, going to be talking about the fork in the road. Last week we saw where really Joanne, all three of them, had experiences in their life and opportunities to either choose at that fork in the road the way of Christ or their own way. And there's an image that we put up last week that we're going to put up right now to show you the idea of where we all are. As we all stand before this fork in the road, you'll see where many of us, really all of us, I think the longer that we live, the more we're, you know, the more that we live, we're going to experience forks in our road. And we can choose either the way that is the Lord's way, or we can choose our own way. Now, the Lord's way doesn't necessarily mean it's the easy way. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be, smooth sailing. It's not always going to be pleasant. But I would much rather be on the fork in the road that and go on that, choose the fork that God is with me. How about you? Even during those times where it's difficult to know that God is with me through those times, I can't imagine, Joanne, how you would have experienced all the things that you experienced, and Phil and Zach, as you faced these one thing after another. If you didn't have Christ with you, I don't know how you made it, would make it without him. However, there are some people that have chosen forks in the road that have been away from Christ, but yet today we want to, through this time of testimony, to see where even when we don't choose Christ, that God is still faithful and that God can be trusted. Those two things I want us to walk away with here today, that God is faithful and that God can be trusted. I want you to welcome this morning, I'm going to call a young man. He's young at heart, at least, and I know he's younger than me, so I'll call him a young man. Jason Nikolaisen and his wife Cynthia, come on up here if you will. And just have a seat here. Jason, if you'll have a seat right here, and Cynthia right there, grab those microphones. Oh, you're going to get a little closer. I see how that works. All right. Okay. I'm just going to stay right here at a little bit of a distance. Is that all right? Yeah, okay. That's good.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. Check it out. Is it on? Talk in it.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Talk in that one, Cynthia. Hello. A little bit louder. Bring their microphones up, if you will. Can you talk?
Good morning.
There it is. They found the button. All right. Very good. So several years ago, three and a half, four years ago, on a Sunday morning, not unlike this morning, at the end of service, a young man came up from the back of the sanctuary towards me. We were already dismissed. Didn't recognize him. Knew that it was his first time here. And so he came up towards me, and I introduced myself, and I said, hi, is there anything that I can help you with? Is there anything I can do for you? And he proceeded to tell me how the Lord caused him to drive by this church, and the Lord encouraged him to come through those doors and come up and talk with me. And that morning, his response was, yeah, you can, in essence, point me to Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. And I said, well, let's talk about that, and just talk for a few moments. And within a few short moments, I led him to pray the sinner's prayer. He prayed and asked Jesus into his heart, and he hasn't missed a beat. From that day until today, this man comes to church every Sunday. He's here during the week, in fact, and he prays in the sanctuary in the mornings. I know many of you don't know that, but you can find him around here usually praying throughout the week. And he's just got a hunger for the Lord. He's just grown his relationship with the Lord over the last several years. But he has a story to tell, because, Jason, you, for many years in your life, chose the other path. I don't know where you want to start with this, but I know a lot of folks are probably wondering, who is this guy that's been coming to church here for the last several years and praises the Lord, and he gives the biggest hug? Has he ever hugged you? He will He will pop your back into place if it's out. He'll hug you with just hug, and he just is this warm hugs, and he always has to come up to me on a Sunday morning after church and say, Pastor Brian, I just got to give you a hug, and he does, and I kind of have to brace myself because I know it's going to be strong, and I love it. I just feel this appreciation and this love that comes from you, and I appreciate just your heart for the Lord. So, Jason, I'm going to let you start by whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, but now that I've set up to where we know who you are today, tell us a little bit about where you are, where you were before that day. What brought you to that point? How far back you want to start? Give us an idea of who you are and what the Lord has done in your life.
Okay, first of all, thank you very much, Pastor Brian. I love you, man. And I want to thank everybody here for, for your fellowship. Changing my life is unbelievable. Joanne and Phil and Zach's story is incredible. What an incredible story of faith and love for God and Jesus Christ, and it overwhelmed me. I really don't want to get into it, well, unless you really want me to go back, but I don't want to say too much about, I kind of do.
To the level that God has forgiven you is the level of your gratitude, and so it's gonna come out through tears. But go for it.
Yeah, my mom is the most fantastic woman in my life ever. She raised my brother and I, and it was great when we were together. And I don't have to go into detail, but when Rick, it was abusive. So, but when my brother and my mom and I were together, it was great.
Rick is your brother? He's the older brother?
No, Rick is my mom's boyfriend back in the day.
Got it.
My brother is Sean. And my mom and I were great when we were together, like I said. And he could be physically abusive. There's a difference between spanking a kid and beating a kid. And there's a difference. No matter what a woman does, if you think she does, no woman deserves to be ever hit. And that's enough about that. So that happened when you grew up.
You and your brother were raised by your mom, and was Rick your mom's boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay, and he was abusive. He was physically abusive.
At times, yes.
Saying. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I did teach us how to play football and baseball and stuff like that, but that's, you know, whatever.
What did that do to you whenever he would physically abuse? What do you think that did to cause you to, you know, respond to that in some way, I guess as a teenager or whatever? How did that set you in a particular direction?
I just remember being really glad when it was when she left him, and I was 10 and my brother was 14, and we went to live with our dad in Huntington Beach, and mom went to live with grandma in Hollywood. This is all California folks, I'm sure you know. And dad was not a good dad. That's why my mom left him. And he was on his third wife, Melinda, which is a great woman. And Sean and I were, like I said, I was 10 and 14. But we met some friends and got in a world of trouble, you know, from that moment, leaving mom. Well, she didn't leave us. But like I said, to get back on her feet, she went to live with grandma. And Sean and I went down to dad for the summer, and man, at 10 years old, you, when you start drinking at 10, and my brother, both of us, and there's no glamour in drugs, kids. There's no glamour in booze. It will destroy you, and never once. And I'll say this from the beginning, that God's always been strong in our family. Whether we read the Bible or not, my mom was the most beautiful person that would smile at anybody. and ask how somebody's day was, and maybe that's where I get some of that. And then it got covered in the years to come with alcohol and trouble. So we were with our dad for like 6 months, and he just give us money in the morning. Here's $20 and $20. And back in the 80, you know, early 80s, 81, that was a lot of money to give a kid. So we just get out of school, and this is more trouble that our schools were back to back in Huntington Beach. My elementary school and his junior high school were back to back. So we rode the same bus with all of our friends, that money in our pockets. And we get out of school and get out, get on the bus, because it was up Pacific Coast Highway. You just take the bus right up the coast, and right after school, it was straight to like the sandwich shop to play Pac-Man or whatever. And then we could easily find at one of our friend's house or our dad's house booze and drink. And I'll even say, you know, we smoke some pot, and it's all a path to destruction. And this was God's plan for me to get to this very moment in my life. So after that didn't work out, you know, we get in a lot of trouble. I mean, we were jumping off bridges into the harbor at, you know, 30, 40 feet where boats pass by. I mean, we were just doing stuff. It was nuts.
You're 10 years old doing this.
I'm 10 years old. My brother's 14. And before school, we'd go across the street and surf or body surf or whatever, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, put our clothes on, jump in the jacuzzi and jump on the bus and go to school and then do all this stuff day in, day out. Dad didn't care. And then junior high school, same stuff. I just continued. The drinking stopped. Pot really wasn't a big, you know, I went from that into my 14 and 15 years old. I hung out with people twice my age. I was 14 and 15 years old, hanging out with 28, 30 year old people that always seemed like they were my friend and such. But if they were really my friend, any one of them would have told me that you got to stop what you're doing, Jason. But they did this the same thing. And when people say that you hung out with the wrong crowd, I was the wrong crowd also. So I can't say, oh, this person affected me. I was the wrong crowd too. And time again, I'm going to tell you this the whole time, I never once thought about going to church or finding God or Jesus. Like I said, I believe this is his path for me.
So let me ask you this. What was your knowledge and understanding of who Jesus was at that age?
Like I said, Pastor Brian, he didn't even enter my mind.
Did you know Jesus existed?
Absolutely.
How did you hear about him initially? Who you knew all through all that you were going through, all the choices that you made, you knew that Jesus was... What did you know about Jesus? What was
we
your
had
understanding
a Bible in
of
our
who
house, like I said, and never read the first page. Like I said, my mom was a beautiful person. I know Jesus lived in her soul. I know this in my heart.
How did you hear about Jesus, though, when you were a kid? You said you knew of him. How?
We went to a Christian school when we were like second and third grade, I think it was. Christian Academy, somewhere in the valley by Roscoe and stuff like that. Very faint kind of memories of it. Like I said, I was probably first or second grade maybe. Okay. And that's as much as I really know about.
That was your really only exposure to who Jesus was?
Absolutely. Okay. You know, and in Los Angeles, I grew up after junior high. I went to high school. I went to North Hollywood High. And almost all my friends were Latin. And enter their house, a lot of Catholic people.
Catholic, yeah, sure.
And they'd have a picture of Jesus Christ.
What did you think about that as you saw those crosses and the pictures of Christ as a teenager?
I would look at it, and this is truthfully from my heart. I'll tell you nothing but the truth. If you ever ask me something, you're never going to get anything that's deviated from the truth. I didn't think much of it. I looked at his face, and I'd walk right by. And that almost, now what he's done in my life, I don't know how I could have done that.
Yeah. Well, knowing what you know now, back then, though, you didn't have that understanding.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And so you grew up knowing who Jesus was. Did you know what he had done for you back then?
He's had to have been with me forever, and he's with all of us forever. I mean, there's no bad. You can't do enough bad in your life for him to not forgive you one day if you ask for his forgiveness. But he's had to have been there, because there's no way I should be even sitting here a thousand times over, probably. Yeah,
you mentioned that to me earlier. So what are some examples of how you should have died, but yet you're still here today?
I was a drinker of major proportions. I did not drink one or two beers. You hear people, I'll have a couple beers after work. It was all or nothing. It was buy a 12-pack and a fifth of Jack Daniels. Or, I mean, I could drink guys that are twice my size, my friends, and my friends, 200-300 pounds. Back then, I was like a buck 40, you know, and it's like I could drink them down to the ground. And that's nothing to be proud of. But I used to drink and drive, and I'm so sorry if anybody's life has ever been affected by a drunk driver, because I was a drunk driver. And I thank God that he had to have somehow directed me home countless times not to kill somebody, myself. Sure. And I thank God, and I'm so sorry if somebody was affected by a drunk driver. I thank God it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So that's day in and day out for over 35 years about of not a couple beers a day. Like I said, our parties would start Friday night, go to Sunday night. That means I got up in the morning and still went. Basically, blood in my alcohol in my blood. Monday through Friday, I would drink downstairs in my garage, my grandma's apartment from way back that mom moved in from Huntington Beach. My grandma lived there forever. I mean, as far as I can remember. Mm. But downstairs was a parking structure. I would stop at the liquor store, get my beer, my booze, whatever, and listen to music loudly, and just drink and smoke cigarettes, and just like drive to friends' houses. And I mean, not just in that case, just in the environment of Los Angeles, and this is something that probably doesn't happen here, and won't happen to this or this. I drove home one night out of the valley, out of North Hollywood into Hollywood, and somebody was on my tail, and I pulled to the side, and they jumped out, and they boxed me in, and they stuck a gun to my head. And I mean, just there's so many different times that to take my truck. 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, you hear about all the time. They just shoot them and pull them out of the car and drive away. So guardian angels, Jesus Christ, yeah. God, not only the drunk driving, but in situations of, you know, not good neighborhoods.
You shouldn't be here today.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
So as a teenager, you hung out with people twice your age, drinking and partying with them. Continue on maybe from there as to what's happening in your life.
See, I was still pretty happy then. And
what do you mean by that, happy?
I've got.
In what way?
If you want to say somebody that's got a good disposition, and Faye has said it to me, she goes, I can never see you to be a mean person. Well, let me tell you what, if you weren't a family member or one of my buddies, I couldn't stand you. I didn't want to be around you. You wouldn't get a hug from me. You would get either a scowl or I want to kill you look rather than a hug. God and Jesus Christ are having me make up for all that time of years and years of not being a good guy with a good heart and soul to the other people on this planet.
See, Jason, I just that's just hard to believe, and that is so awesome, God's faithfulness, to hear you say that, to describe how you were. I don't see that, but that just shows you the faithfulness of God, how he's just changed your life to where you are today. I don't know if I'd really wanted to know you 5 or 6 years ago, but I'm glad I know you now.
Well, like I said, at 14, when I was hanging out with those people, I was still, I don't know, smiling and stuff. person or two wants to tell you have a drinking problem, and I blew that off like nothing. So there was some.
Well, what got you to the point where you got so mad that you didn't like people anymore? Just what happened?
Now, well, that's when I kind of after high school, I played in bands and stuff like that, and we had some fun. But after high school, and this was once again not the wrong type of person hanging out, I started hanging out with my Latin friends. I got to know a couple people through people I played in bands with, and they were more street knowledgeable, if you know what I mean. And then I started hanging out with them more than my original friends, which were some ex-gang members, some still in gangs. Every one of them lived in the projects. And as I drank more and hung out more in that environment of negativity, and once again, I'm not blaming society or it's you, everybody's in control of themselves and coming to find God and Jesus Christ on their own. But whether you think that you're the bad influence or they're the bad influence, I just continue to get more and more angry. The environment, that the music we listened to was aggressive and gangster rap. If anybody's heard gangster rap before, it is completely disrespectful to everything. Women glorifies drugs. I mean, the whole thing is a bad way of life. And if anybody thinks that that's cool, let me tell you, it's not. So at that point, probably my early 20s to about basically the time I stopped drinking, which is, it would be 4 years, August, 2004, five years.
And how old are you now?
That, I'm 49. I'll be 49.
So a little over 20 years you're talking about.
What's that as far as what? I'm sorry.
As far as you said from the time you were in your early 20s until about 5 years.
Yes, being angry and just, absolutely. When I moved from L.A. to Miami, it continued, but I didn't have those friends anymore. I was in Miami for 10 years, but I continued to drink heavy. It's once again, it's one of those things where I'm thankful to be alive and that I never hurt anybody. But once again, I wasn't a people person. I didn't shake people's hands. I didn't say hello. I didn't hug them to say hi. And I also wanted to bring something up also is a great friend of mine, William Vanna, and him and I hang outside of church. Our families get together. And I would love to see more of the fellowship outside the walls at which we all talk about and getting together to do things outside of these walls. And it's great that we're all here together, but William's boys and our girls and Cynthia and I, we get together and we'll go to the park. And it's an overwhelming feeling. And Faye has asked me at times, and William, we had a conversation. I took him to the eye doctor to have his eye surgery, and all we did was talk about God and Jesus. And of course, it's about all I can talk about nowadays is God and Jesus and my family, which I consider you all part of my family. About opening yourselves up to everybody, let God completely in. Let God come. Take control of your life. Don't let the worries and doubts and letting Jesus completely take all over everything. And it was said in a couple songs, what do we deserve? I mean, what do we do to deserve a love like yours? And I hear it time and time again, whether I pick up the Bible, and Cynthia and I pick up the Bible together, and we read a lot, and we want more and more time of that. I thirst and hunger for God and Jesus Christ. I get overwhelmed with emotion to know the feeling that our Creator pays attention to every single person's life if you let Him into your heart. Even when I didn't follow Him when I was a kid, He was still there and I know it. And William and Vanna and I were talking, and don't let the church stop here. Love God and Jesus with all of your heart and soul. Because I love Him with everything that I am. And He shows it time and time again when I read the Bible. It's something I need to hear. And I wake up and we've worked too hard and I got 4 hours of sleep because I work late and I'm a little grumpy or whatever it is. I'll open the Bible and it might just end up on a page that just, boom, it's right in my face. That just pulls my spirit out. And then, of course, I'm with this beautiful woman and that's another thing, you know, God, prayer is real. And I'm sure a lot of you know that believing in God and Jesus Christ is real. Prayer is strong. Prayer is real. Give Him your heart and soul. And I'll get back to William that he asked me, why are you get so over? I mean, we get overwhelmed with emotion. That's because I won't hide anything. I will not hide how I feel about God. How I feel about Jesus, and I do it at work. There's all kinds of different characters at work that drive forklifts and attitudes and personalities. And a lot of them will say, man, how come you're so happy, Jason? I go, man, my life's fantastic. Why? So I got God, Jesus Christ, and my family. And sometimes I'll get a kind of a crooked look, which I don't understand. Maybe they just want to be as happy as me, and I'm hoping that rubs off. They're like, wow, he's that happy all the time? Maybe I should try God and Jesus Christ and pay more attention. So that's, there's so many different things that have happened.
Let's fast forward. So you went from L.A. to Miami. Why did you move to Miami?
For work. I've worked for a wheel company, American Eagle Wheel. They got a Chino plant, and they had one in New York, South Carolina here.
And is that what brought you up to this year?
Yeah, it is. Okay. One job, and once again, it's God's plan. He's got a plan for all of us, from L.A. to Miami to Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Of all places, right?
I mean, from huge, huge to, well, not so huge.
Yeah, right.
to meet this woman, to meet all of you and have this church.
Yeah.
To meet you, Pastor Brian. And I wanted to say something real quick.
Sure.
The story was almost right about me coming to church.
I'm sure I messed up on a couple of it. Go ahead and fix it.
But it is fixed. I'm here.
Let's do this. Before you adjust what I shared, because from my perspective, you're coming in and we had that, you know, that moment there that just was a fork in the road for you, and the Lord has brought you to where you are today. What brought you to that place that you came in here?
Well, that morning, my marriage was ending to Nikki and Chloe's mom, which she's a great woman. Her name's Veronica. And I had got my apartment by myself. And I wasn't sure if I'd make it, not tucking my kids in at night. I was in the apartment by myself. I hadn't been without them their whole lives. So I wasn't sure if being in an apartment by myself and not seeing their beautiful little faces, I was going to make it. And I'm sure everybody knows what that means.
You were contemplating possibly ending your life. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. So, that's not the way either for anybody ever even thinking that stupid thought. God gave you a beautiful life. But Sunday morning, November 1st, 2015, I was compelled to get in my car and find a church. I know with all my heart and soul that was the Holy Spirit. I didn't even really remember grabbing the keys, getting in the car. Basically, it was just, I was being pulled. And it was Paces Rivers Apartments, which is right back over here, right? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the first two churches I thought about were right on Selenese, the ones right by Mount Gallant. Nothing against another church. I love that they all represent God and Jesus Christ, but I wasn't feeling either one of them. So I pulled to the side of the road, Googled churches in Rock Hill, and Faith Assembly of God came up, and I saw the address said Faith Avenue. I go, wow, that's kind of cool. So it's Faith Assembly of God, and it's on Faith Avenue. It's how much it takes to grab me. So I came down this street. I don't know what time church started or broke or any of that, you know. I walked through those doors, and everybody's congregating like everybody does at the end of church. Like I said, God put me at the right time here, because that means about 20 minutes, everybody's gone, or whatever, 30 minutes. And if I recall correctly, and I heard the voice from behind me was, and I'll always remember it, are you looking for somebody? And absolutely, I was looking for Jesus Christ, and he took me right up here to the front row and sat with me for a good hour or so. I love this man. Pastor Matt's always looked after me too. And I gave him my life story that you're kind of hearing in a nutshell. And here I am, and I've never been happier in my life.
You've never looked back, have you?
Absolutely not, and I never will.
I can't imagine how many people in our community that are just like Nick and struggling with life choices, forks in their road that they've... I'm sorry, I said Nick. Jason.
Jason Nicolaiason.
Jake and Nicolaiason.
Hey, you got it right.
Yeah, Jason. Now, real quick, so there's a lot of folks that maybe are in Jason's situation four years ago or so. And they've grown up maybe in a difficult situation, abusive home, poor choices that they've made, choices to... And every choice that you made, Jason, was a fork in the road. You think about that. At 10 years old, you chose, because it was laid before you and the opportunity was there, to drink and to experience those things. Then later on, you chose... to hang out with the wrong kind of friends, and then you chose to do other things down the road. Every choice that you made was a fork away from the Lord, but yet, He was still with you.
Absolutely,
even in your rebellion and your darkness, in the things in your life that you were going through, and I don't know how this happened that the Lord in His goodness and His mercy woke you up on that Sunday morning and out of what we'll call the blue compelled you to get in the car and find a place where you could receive Him. But that just shows you the faithfulness and the goodness of God, that He loves us in every situation, in every details of our life, no matter
Absolutely.
What it is that we're going through. I know that also the Lord has blessed you with a beautiful soulmate here in Cynthia.
Absolutely.
And Cynthia, I don't know, do you have anything that you would like to share?
Well, I'm so blessed and thankful for Jason, and he came at the right time. He was my fork in the road. That's kind of a long story, but yeah, I know everyone's seen me here, and I've been here for, you know, 6-7 years since I was like 13. Wow. And I've been a Christian all my life, but since I was about 13, I started taking forks in the road that were wrong, and they just went downhill from there. I know I still came to church every week, but I didn't take it like I was supposed to, and I just kept making worse and worse decisions. And before I was starting to graduate, it was my time where I could probably get out and do whatever I wanted to do, and I was ready to either end my life or just leave, just not care about anything.
And then He came along. The Lord brought you guys together. Yeah.
And the power of prayer is, at that time when I came into church, and I didn't want to be with anybody that did not believe in God and Jesus Christ and have that feeling that I was getting, I started praying for a woman of God and found out that the church had a dance ministry, and I wanted to bring our girls into the church and get the kids to know God and Jesus Christ. And I come through the doors to
thank goodness.
Bring
I thought you were going to say you were going to sign up for the dance ministry, which would have been fine, but okay.
If Jesus wanted me to dance, I'd do it. That's another thing that I see at times. Roxanna is. I see her when we are worshiping and praising, and the dance down the aisles. That is fantastic. That is awesome. To have that feeling is however we worship and praise, whether it's in dance or song, or standing at your seat, you give them your all, you give them your heart, you give them your soul.
Amen, Jason. That's good.
And then I brought the kids to the door on that Saturday, and who's ministering the dance team is Lou Ann Yarb and Cynthia. And I pursued her from them.
Yeah.
Now we're married.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Absolutely.
So And you just never know what people are going through. Not just in the church, but in our community. And aren't you thankful for God's faithfulness?
Absolutely.
Aren't you thankful that God can be trusted? Aren't you thankful that He never gives up on us? Aren't you thankful that He never gives up on us? And I look around this congregation and I see people and I hear stories and I know stories of people where I've seen people come full circle, where God has brought you to where you are today, where maybe you shouldn't be alive or maybe you should be elsewhere, but God has been faithful. I want to encourage you at your fork in the road today. I want to tell you a real quick story, if you don't mind, while you guys remain seated here. My brother, I want to tell you a story about my brother. I have an older brother who's about 3 years older than I, and I remember something very vividly in my past that was a lot like, in regards to what Jason shared in that fork in the road. I was about 11. My brother was about 14. And we were sitting in the back seat of our car, my mom and dad in the front. My dad driving, and I remember my brother at 14 years old asking a question. I remember it just like it was yesterday. He said, "Mom and Dad, would we still be able to go to heaven after the rapture?" And I remember listening to my brother ask that question, and my parents answering the question was, "Yes, you will still be able to go to heaven if you don't make it in the rapture." But they didn't elaborate on it. They just kind of left it at that. And I remember at 11 years old feeling like I needed to say something, but at 11 years old I just didn't. And I look back on it many times wishing that I would have, because I saw at that point, and I look back on it now realizing that that was a fork in the road for my brother, because it was at that point in his life when he got that question answered that I saw him start making some decisions away from God. He chose the wrong friends. He started doing the wrong things. He started walking in rebellion. He became a very difficult person in so many ways. Because in his mind, he, I guess, thought, I can live how I want to live and do what I want to do. When the rapture takes place and I know it's taking place, then I can give my heart to God and I'll go to heaven. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in just a second, but I'll let you know that my brother, because of that question that was answered and the choices that he made, the fork in the road away from God, his life has not been real good. It's been one choice after another that has been difficult for him in his life, if I could put it that way. He has eventually now started to come back. He believes, he's always believed in God. He's always believed in Jesus. He's now been, in the last few years, starting to go to church again and starting to get his life right with God. But he'll be 60 this year. So from 14 to 60, that kind of tells you the arc of his life and where maybe how it could have been as opposed to how it ended up being. Let me just tell you real quick. Can you go to heaven after the rapture? The answer is yes, there's an allowance for that, but let me give you the rest of the story as you've heard before. What's going to happen when the rapture takes place, just so you'll know, young people, is that the church will be removed from the equation in the world, because the rapture is going to take place where Jesus is going to come get his bride, which is the church. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is going to also be removed from the earth at that point. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. There's going to be a 7-year period of what we know as the tribulation. There's still going to be an opportunity to receive Christ in your heart, but it's going to be more of an act of your will than being drawn by the Spirit, because the Spirit won't be here to draw you in. Here's what I know about this, is that you got to understand this, is that you don't know what it's like to not have the Holy Spirit around you and drawing you in. You don't know what it's like to not have the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the earth and drawing people to God. The job of the Holy Spirit is in part to draw people to Christ. That's one of his job descriptions. So once the Holy Spirit is removed from the equation, and that's going to happen whenever the tribulation is in full force on the earth, you're going to be able to choose God, but you're going to choose Jesus out of an act more of your will, of an understanding of who he is. In the absence of the presence of the Holy Spirit drawing you in. And they're also going to be, you're going to have a mark on your chest, and it's not going to be the mark of the beast. It's going to be the mark of Christ, and you're not going to be able to buy or sell or do anything. You're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to be able to, you're going to be running for your life. You're probably most likely going to be killed because of your stand for Christ. Now, that's just putting it out there just boldly and bluntly and plainly. But my point is this, young people and adults alike, don't wait to choose Christ after the rapture. Choose him now. While the Holy Spirit is drawing you in, choose him now. The world is telling you that Jesus is not God. The world is telling you that everything about the Bible is a fable. The world is telling you that all this that I'm talking about today is just a bunch of nonsense. But it's not true. That's the lie. Satan would have you think that. God, by his mercy, drew you in, Jason. By his mercy, he brought you to just happened to be this church. And by his grace and mercy, he brought you to a place of relationship, a restored relationship back to God through Jesus Christ. And it's a great story. And yet there's so many more like you that are struggling in the world today. And I just want to encourage you with a couple of things. First off, God is faithful. God is faithful with your young person, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. God is faithful to bring that person back in, and God can be trusted with every situation in your life. There's a fork in the road today in your life, and maybe it's a fork of salvation. Maybe today you're thinking, well, I'm 12, 13, 14 years old, and I want to enjoy life. I want to experience the things that this world has to offer. But I think you've heard from Jason here this morning that those drugs and the alcohol and the friends that he chose are not the route to take. If you had it to do all over again, would you choose that same, would you make those same choices, Jason?
Like I told Cynthia, and it is God's plan for me to go through everything I went through. And not that everybody has to go through something traumatic to have God and Jesus Christ, but now I just appreciate it. I appreciate God and Jesus Christ that much more to know what I've been through and done, what I could have done, and to know the relationship that I have with them now. Nobody could take that from me. I can't live without them. But it was his plan for me. Would I do it again? Absolutely not, for the destruction of who I was to begin with. But that was, Cynthia and I have talked about it, and everything that has happened to me happened because that was God's plan for my life. And once again, to appreciate him that much more, and his son Jesus Christ, our Savior, that much more.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I want to adjust this a little bit, because I'll tell you what God's plan is for your life and for our life. God's plan for our life is not that we would go through hell to get to heaven. God's plan is not that we would experience all the things that you experience so that we can appreciate him. That's your story, but it doesn't have to be our story. I would say let's learn from Jason's choices and not do the same things that he did. I wouldn't wish on any young person today that you would have to go through hell to experience God's forgiveness. Let's rather learn from other people's mistakes. Amen? Let's learn from other people's forks in the road where they chose away from God. Now, God in his sovereignty and in his mercy brought you back to where you are today. But God's plan for your life is plan A. The path you chose was plan B that brought you back to plan A. So I don't want you to think that God has a plan for your life that you have to experience drugs and alcohol and you know, gangster friends and all the different things. I realize that, but I want to make sure that we clarify that today, that this is not God's plan for your life for you to experience all the awful things that this world has to offer. God wants to redeem you and rescue you from that. And the younger you are, the more I'm talking to you this morning, is that it's time for you to make a decision today. And if you've chosen a fork away from God. It's not too late to correct a mid-course correction, bring you back in to say, wait a minute, today I want to choose God. Today I want to choose serving Jesus. I don't want to experience 20 or 30 years or whatever, 10 years, not 1 second even, of a life away from Christ. I want to choose Christ today. Jason, yours is a story of God's redemption. And we're so thankful that God has brought you to where you are today. And we want to thank you for sharing your story. It's really your testimony. And people that are being impacted by it at your workplace and those that you know see the difference between the Jason of today and the Jason of 5 years ago. It's like night and day. Is that correct? Yeah, you keep shining that light. You keep telling that story. And by the way, you've told it to however many people that are watching on Facebook Live today. Would there be anything that you would want to share with them as we conclude here today?
Just love God and Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen. 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 Let's give Jason and Cynthia another hand. Jesus, we thank you today that you're the central figure of all history. And today we place you at the center of our lives. We choose you. Jesus, I pray that you'd help each one of us here today to take the fork in the road that is towards you, with you, and that you'll carry us through in those times as you guide us. Lord, that we would, as young people today and adults alike, make the choice to embrace you, realizing that the path away from you is nothing but heartache. It's nothing but cruelty. It's nothing but really death, ultimately. Lord, help us to choose you today. Help us to choose you today. Help us to choose the fork in the road today that runs to you, that falls towards you, that depends on you. I want to ask you this morning, with your eyes closed and head bowed, and as we're even watching on Facebook Live today, I'll ask you as well today, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that needs to choose Jesus today, I would ask that you would lift up your hand wherever you are and just place it right back down. And today we're going to pray together a prayer. If today in this fork in the road that you're at, you need to choose Jesus today, you need to go towards him, is that you? Then lift up your hand today and say, Pastor, I need to choose Jesus today. Amen. Father, I thank you today for each one that is here today that is listening with the sound of my voice. Lord God, that's listening to this and hearing Jason's story, that's understanding that they may be at a fork in their road today and they're at a crucial place in their lives. And I pray that today, instead of turning away from you, instead of choosing the world, instead of choosing the things that this world has to offer, instead of walking in against you and walking in rebellion, Lord, that instead that they would choose you. And that today that initial choice would be that they would ask you in their hearts as Lord and Savior. Your word says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is God's Son, that we will be saved. It's that simple. You've already done the work for us. And so today we pray, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart and be Lord of my life. Today I choose you. Father, I thank that as we prayed that prayer today, the decision's been made. And as we choose to follow you and reject the things that this world has to offer, turn aside from those things that are trying to lure us towards them that are nothing but death and destruction. And that we would run to you, Lord God, and choose you, which is life and health and strength and hope and all that we need. Lord, help us to run to you. And won't you guide us on this path, this journey that we've chosen with you, and through the difficult times and the joyful times, help us to know you're with us through all times. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Your word says it. Lord, I want to thank you today for Jason and for Cynthia. I want to thank you, Lord God, for redeeming Jason. Lord God, for the great testimony of his life. Where he was 5 years ago and where he is today is like night and day. And Lord, that you've protected him over the years, where he should have died multiple times. And yet, God, you spared his life and you brought him to a place of restored relationship with you. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for Jason and Cynthia and for their great testimony of how you've turned their lives around and brought them hope and joy. And now they're set on the right path walking with you. Lord, I know there's plenty that are in this community that are just like that. Show us what we can do to tell our story, just like Jason told his, that we would tell our story with those that need to hear it, and that they would also choose you, Lord Jesus, as we share our testimony, our story of your redemption in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, that you can be trusted with everything in our lives, and most importantly, our souls. Father, I pray a blessing over Jason and Cynthia. I pray, God, that they would grow in a relationship with you, that you open up doors for them that can't be opened by any man, and that you'd help them to walk through it, Lord God, sharing their life and their love for you with others around them. Use them, Lord God, to bring glory to your name. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, again, for redeeming them for you. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Would you give God praise one more time for his goodness?